At the start of the week, Andrew Ferguson kicked off our series of Our Peers and joined the show to explore how we might choose more fair juries by using data about jurors' online habits, for example. Ferguson is a law professor at the UDC David A. Clark School of Law and author of Why Jury Duty Matters. And now we've brought him back to respond to listener questions from you about the jury experience and the system at large. Andrew, thanks for coming back and taking our questions.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, Andrew, we've gotten lots of questions about how juries are chosen from Chicago, Illinois. How up-to-date is the system in terms of eligible jurors? How do we keep it as representative of the current community members as possible?
It's a good question, and unfortunately it varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Many courts are supposed to annually update their lists, but it doesn't always happen. One of the realities is that, you know, not only do you have a very mobile culture, people move all over the place, but many times courts are just not as technologically advanced as the rest of the world, and they don't have the investment or the infrastructure to catch up with our mobile culture.
Okay, how about the question of pay? Hearing lots about that.
Hi, it's Grant from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm curious why jury duty doesn't pay more, and why isn't there a system in place to select more unemployed people since they should be available?
Juror pay is one of the biggest problems in the whole jury process. It is a symbol of the fact that we don't invest very much in jury service. Think about it. Even from an educational investment, what information do you have before you get to jury service? Almost none. I always joke that you actually have to do more to adopt a pet in Washington, D.C. than serve on a jury. There are citizens who are taking time out of their lives. They have bills to pay. They have jobs to meet and obligations. And many courts don't even pay enough money to cover parking or the transportation to get down to the courthouse. It's a function of investment, and it's something that we can change. There has been a push to up the juror pay in certain cities and jurisdictions, but of course it costs money to do so. And we should think creatively about figuring out better ways to deal with the pay problem, which is real.
And two related questions here from a listener in Florida. How do I get excused from a jury? And then from Livingston, Alabama, how do we have an equitable jury system when most people try to get out of jury duty?
Well, I think that those questions are obviously related. To the questioner who wants to get out, I would ask you to rethink why. Jury service is the closest most American citizens can come to sort of living the principles of the Constitution. Most of us believe in the Constitution. Most of us believe in the ideas of liberty and democracy and deliberation and participation. And this is an opportunity to sort of see that in work. And so the idea of trying to get out of it is trying to get out of your democratic obligation. And it is a problem because if you look at jury summonses and you look at jury processes, there's a good percentage of people who are trying to get out. And that means the burden rests on the other people. It means there are certain segments of the population who aren't represented. And if you are a defendant, if you are a plaintiff, if you are someone who has come to the court system to have justice done, and people are trying to get out, it is damaging to the fairness and it's damaging to the whole system. This is our system, our democratic system, our civic system. And we should all be obliged to contribute to it and not look for ways to get out, but look for ways to contribute more, because that's what being an American is all about.
Okay, here's another question. Take a listen.
I've always thought that the only way I would end up in front of a jury was if I was innocent and accused of a crime I didn't commit. I've been told by many that if I choose a jury trial, I'm subject to their irrational whims, and that the best bet is to waive jury trial and accept a judge's verdict. Is this true?
So I was a trial lawyer for 9 years, and I would, having watched those jurors, I would never waive a jury trial. If I were charged with a crime, if I were innocent, I would ask the jury of my peers to decide that case. Because I think when you get 12 people together, 12 people are approaching a question fresh, who don't come in with preconceived notions of the criminal justice system or the person sitting in that defendant's chair, they take it seriously. And they recognize the difficulty of making that decision. They follow the law. And, you know, almost all the time they get it right.
Here is a tough one.
Joel Linford, Ogden, Utah. To the extent that we have such data, do we know how often juries get it right? That is, how often are their verdicts correct compared to how often their verdicts are incorrect? Also, do we have any data to show if juries make decisions any better or worse than a judge does?
So going back to literally the 1960s, there have been social scientists who have studied that question about whether juries get it right. And by and large, the studies show that they do get it right. And what get it right means is, are they the same as a judge who would be deciding it at the same time? We don't have an objective, did they get it right or wrong? We don't know that. But generally speaking, judges, who are some of the biggest fans of juries you will ever find, say that 9 times out of 10, jurors get it right. And when they might differ from judges, they differ in a way that the judges understand and sort of create part of the reason why we have a jury system. Sometimes there are sort of empathetic or personal reasons why a jury might be more lenient than a judge, and the judges understand that. So if you ask judges, do jurors get it right? They say yes. If you ask social scientists, do jurors get it right? You say yes. And with the exception of sort of the, you know, mass media attack on jury service that, you know, is part of the current conversation, the people on the ground who are doing this work recognize that juries get it right over and over again.
Okay, and a lot of people are wondering this one, Andrew, from New York, New York. How can we improve the jury system so that people will not dread the notifications? I can't relate to those people.
You know, I think we need to reshape how we view jury service in America. I think we should think of it as not just jury duty, but constitution duty. It is our obligation to connect with the principles that made this country great. If you look at, you know, where juries come from and why we have them, they're literally in the Constitution, Article 3, and then the Sixth Amendment, the Seventh Amendment. It is the only right that makes a repeat appearance in the actual bill, the text of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's part of our history. It was part of the women's suffrage movement. It's part of the civil rights movement. It is part of who we are as an American. And we should think about that as we approach jury service. So instead of saying, oh, no, I have to take time out of my busy life to do this service, you say, like, this is why I'm an American. This is part of the only thing I have to do. The only constitutional obligation you have to do is serve on a jury. You don't have to vote. You don't have to make enough money to pay taxes. But you do have to serve on a jury. And there's a reason why. Because we count on citizens to make the ultimate judgment about what should happen in our laws, because that's what a democracy is all about.
Andrew Ferguson is a law professor at the UDC David A. Clark School of Law and author of Why Jury Duty Matters. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.